of the school of thought that once saved, always saved. Because I know that that doctrine is from the pit of hell. Once saved, always saved doctrine is just the same as the doctrine of reincarnation. Because reincarnation says that if you don't get it right this time, you will die and come back again, either as a human being, a dog, a cat, a tree, or whatever, until you get it right. And that's a deception of the devil, because he knows that you miss it once and that's it. So in his ploy to deceive men and lead many men astray, he says, hey, carry on, doesn't matter, you will still have a chance. Whereas the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that. So how many opportunities do you have to make it right?
One.
I know that that doctrine is not right, but it is taught hotly in different places. And it's all quoted with the word grace, giving the impression that, yes, we are not saved by our works. We know that. Salvation is the product of God's mercy. Mercy supplying grace, we receiving that grace by faith, and we get saved. But when you get saved, what do you get saved from, and what do you get saved for? Two crucial things that we need to understand if we must obey the doctrine of Christ. So in the beginning of our talk on preserving the integrity of the gospel, we mentioned clearly that the purpose of salvation is deliverance from sin. Whereas the rest of the world are sinners, those who are saved from sin should no longer live the same kind of life that they once used to live as sinners, because they are no more sinners. They are no longer reckoned as that before God. And like the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, we now ought to walk in the newness of life. And the newness of life that the Bible speaks about is the conduct, the behavior, the pattern style of life that is completely distinct from the rest of the world. And that means that a sinner's approach to marriage should be different from a saint's approach to marriage. A sinner's approach to business should be different from a saint's position to business. A sinner's approach to hurts should be different from a saint's approach to hurts. So the way a sinner will react to hurts should be different from the way a saint will react to hurts. And if we are able to do that, then anger, bitterness, backbiting, slander, and all those things will be completely put away from the life of the saint. At a certain point in time in our lives, the Bible says that we who have been saved are going to be judged. But they say, that's those who opine that once saved, always saved, that the only thing you will lose in the judgment is your reward, but your salvation will be intact. That's not true, beloved. Of course, there are some who will be saved and all their rewards, but there are some who will not even stand a chance. And Paul warns us about that. He said, the book of Galatians, in Ephesians, in Corinthians, in Colossians, we will find it everywhere. But if you look at Galatians, just the simple part where he talks about the works of the flesh, he says, those who do these things and such like shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to whom? Christians. You see, if your doctrine is wrong, your behavior will be wrong. Because where your doctrine excuses the flesh, the tendency is that you are going to walk in the flesh carelessly. And that attitude of carelessness could lead us into hell. Matthew chapter 15. We start from 8. These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So it's possible to honor God with your mouth, but not with your life. That's what he's saying. Next verse. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So notice this. In vain they do worship me. So they actually worship him. But what he's saying is that their worship is unfruitful, is barren. But they worship him. They do all the religious things. They go to church, they read their Bibles, they pray, they give alms. They do all the things that define worship. But they do it in vain. In other words, as far as God is concerned, if your heart is not right with him, your worship is worthless. Now, he tells us the reason for that emptiness of vainness of their worship. He says that they are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They are not teaching the doctrines of Christ. They are not teaching what he taught. We have established that already. The instruction given to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 is that we should go make disciples of all nations and teach them everything that he has taught. And so we are supposed to simply be echoing his words. But in this case, these men have invented their own set of doctrines. For what reason? Doctrines that would appeal to people so that church will increase. Some invent doctrines so that they will be seen as men who have revelation from God. So it is done for vainglory, to be exalted above everybody else, that I have revelation. So that he or she will be seen as a man with deep insight into the things of God. Look, we don't need deep insight. What we need is right sight. Just see correctly and say what you have seen. But you know, the truth is that in our age, the simple right sight now looks deep because we are very shallow. Shallow because of the doctrines of men. So let's start with the heart of the doctrine of Jesus. So we'll go to the most simple passage of the Bible, John 3:16. Would you join me to read this passage of the Bible? Let's go. For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
You know, this verse sums up everything that Christianity is about. For God, the world, his Son, perish life. Let's look at that. Before the love of God was given, the world was totally destined to what? Perish. So God gave his Son to rescue the world from perishing. Let me ask this. Is there an imminent danger for the world? And you see, when he talked about the word perish, he wasn't just talking about this life. He was talking about the afterlife. So whoever in the world believes on the giving of the Son as God's way of rescuing mankind from perishing, that person, because of his faith, shall not experience the danger that the world is destined to suffer, but rather that person will have everlasting life. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, what will be taken away from you? Sin. So the moment sin is taken away from a man, what goes with it? The destiny of the world goes with it. Because the destiny of the world is occasioned by sin. So you take sin away, then that person no longer looks to perishing, but rather begins to look to inherit eternal life. So now I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But then I begin to mess around with sin on a regular basis, and I begin to practice sin, as the Bible says, and I begin to walk in the flesh, indulge in the flesh, and get entangled therein. What does scripture say will happen to that individual? 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's see what he says. He says here in verse 18, for when they speak, he's talking about the false ministers, false teachers, false prophets, and false apostles, and we have plenty of them in our time. There are people who insist on titles, not on the work. See what he says here. For when they speak with great swelling words of vanity, they allure, they draw, seduce men. They captivate people's interests and draw them in as their disciples. Through what?
The lust of the flesh.
Which is one of the things that the Bible says for us to do what? To run away from. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But then it is the things that are in the world that these preachers use to win people as their disciples. So they make a plea. Come to Jesus and all your problems should be solved. But that's not true. He himself said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And he was talking about persecution. You get saved, your friends turn against you. You get saved and you begin to live right, and the workers in your office begin to hate you for doing what's right, for standing for the truth, for refusing to compromise. You become the target. And they will say all kinds of vile things about you. In some cases, you will be sacked. All for being a Christian. Somebody gets saved, and in some families, you're kicked out. You're a reject. Nobody talks to you anymore. The pathway of a disciple of Christ is not necessarily going to be an easy one. They are lured by the lusts of the flesh. And they tell us that there's special anointing for breakthroughs. What are we breaking through? We're always breaking through things. It says, by their great swelling words, that is all those sweet words that they say, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that is a lust for abundance in the good things of this life. Those that are clean escaped from them who live in error. So who is the target here? Those who are in error or those who have escaped from error? Christians. How is the devil waging war against the church of Christ today? It's not from outside. He's doing it from where? From inside. He sent people. They infiltrated the ranks of the church. And they wear suits. And they hold a microphone. But they are actually agents of darkness. And the Bible tells us that the devil does what with his own ministers? Transforms them into messengers of light. That is, they will look like messengers of light. Your doctrine affects your life. It shapes your life. It shapes your destiny. That's what we've been talking about.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. For a copy of the complete message and for more information, please contact us at Heritage Assembly, XYZ Plaza, Ajah Roundabout on Lekki Egbe Expressway, or call 070-328-39105. 070-328-39105. You can worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. at XYZ Plaza, Ajah Roundabout, Lekki Egbe Expressway. Heritage Assembly, raising a people unto this world.